Welcome to The Thriving Christian Artist, the podcast where we hope you connect with God to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live as an artist in His kingdom. I'm Matt Tama, your host. Let's get started. Well, hey there. Welcome to the podcast today. It's Matt. And listen, I'm so glad that you're with me on the Thriving Christian Artist podcast. We've got a great interview for you today with my friend Nate Hunter, who is a potter and ceramicist up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Oh, we had the best time talking and hearing Nate's story. And really, you know, the thing I love about Nate's story, and you're going to hear this in just a minute, it's really a story of convergence. And it's what happens when artists really start to step into the fullness of what God's called them to do. He is right in the middle of that and seeing that convergence and acceleration that I talk about so much and that I see so much in artists who are really taking their journey seriously. He's seeing that in his life, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I just love it. So I can't wait to share that with you. And really, I want to encourage you, because if you're thinking, well, gosh, I would love to see that same convergence and acceleration in my life, I want to help you do that. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you know that September 10th, all right, opens up the doors for a brand new video series that I'm doing online called Artists Rise Up. And it's 100% focused on helping you experience that convergence and acceleration that I talk about so much in the lives of artists who are really thriving. We're going to be focused on helping you get a really clear vision for what it means to be a part of the army of God that is rising up and literally erupting all over the world with artists in every creative medium. We're going to break that down, give you insight on what that looks like. I'm going to be talking about the marks of a thriving artist because there are really five areas that every artist has to begin to master and walk in maturity in order to really be thriving. First of all, it's cultivating your heart and mind. Secondly, cultivating your art, all right, being excellent at what you do, both filled and skilled, right out of Exodus 31. Then developing a brand, that is learning how to tell your story, all right, and connect with people, both on social media, on the web, in strategic partnerships. We're going to be talking about that. Number four is developing and cultivating then your business, because your business, for those of us that are called to the marketplace, is the vehicle that takes your artwork and you into the marketplace, all right? Now, for those of you that are in ministry, you can replace a lot of those concepts, and we'll be talking about that too. What does it mean to develop a brand and be in ministry with your art as well? If you're not necessarily called, you don't think at this time, to sell your art, but you want to give it away. You want it to be a blessing to people just as ministry. We'll be talking about that too. And now, parentheses, I'll say this. Some people think that that's what they're called to because they're afraid that they're not good enough or they're not called to actually get out in the marketplace and sell it. And so they use that kind of as a, little way to hide. Well, we'll be talking about that too. And then the last one is cultivating your life. You know, what does it mean to create and craft a life that's all about, living the life that God's called you to live as a thriving artist? That's all right, in video number two. Then in video number three, we're going to be talking about overcoming the big roadblocks that all artists face. Video number four, we're going to talk about experiencing breakthrough. That is, what is the strategy God's given in His Word to see accelerated breakthrough in your life, all right? And then video number five, we're going to be jumping into how do you practically start to take your place in the army that God's raising up all over the world. And just like Nate, just like me, just like others, start experiencing that acceleration and convergence in your life. Now, listen, as you know, many of you know, back in 2009, God called me to raise up an army of artists, and I'm doing everything I can. That's what this podcast is about. That's what the mentoring program is about. All the books I've written, all of that is focused on equipping you to be the person that God's called you to be as an artist in the kingdom. And so that's what this series is about too, as well. So you can go to the show notes right now on the podcast, click on a link. It's going to take you to a little page where you'll see a video that explains the series. And then I ask you to opt in with your name and with your email. That's going to give us the ability to send you an email link to the place where the series is going to be housed. We're not doing this on Facebook because here's the big reason. Most people, when they're on Facebook and on social media and all that, it's wonderful. It's fun. God uses it. It's great. However, there are a gajillion, distractions. All right. I don't want you to be distracted. I want you to get everything that you can get out of this podcast. All right. And out of this video series. So we're putting the series on the backside of my website. We got to get you a login. The easiest way to do that is through email. So that's why we're doing that. So go to the show notes, click, watch the little video, opt in. You'll immediately get an email reminder that will allow you to log in to the place where the course is going to be. And you'll be able to then watch that series when it comes out starting September the 10th. All right. So do that. All right. That'll be a big, big blessing in your life. And share it with a friend. All right. Just like you do the podcast. Now, before we jump into this this interview with Nate, I want to, of course, give a big, big shout out to one of my podcast listeners. I love it when you guys review and subscribe to the podcast. It really lets us know that you love it, that what I'm teaching here has a big effect and is a blessing in your life. And today's featured podcast review is from Caitlin Glader. And she says, "This is a game changer. I love listening to the Thriving Christian Artist podcast. I always get golden nuggets of wisdom and encouragement. And I'm so excited to see what God is doing in the art community to impact the world." She's talking about that army of artists. All right. "Thank you, Matt, for listening to your calling and creating a space for Christian creatives to connect and grow." Well, Caitlin, thank you so much for listening and for sharing your heart. Again, it really does encourage us and everybody on my team lets us know that you're out there, that you're listening, that you're pursuing God's call in your life. And that really is a big, big encouragement for us. So, hey, listen, if you're sitting out there and you're like, "I've never reviewed the podcast, I feel so bad." Don't feel bad. Just make a change. No shame. Nobody's watching, but go right now. All right. Just hit pause on the podcast. Scroll down, look for the little thing that says write a review. If you're listening on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever, or Google Play or, Podbean or wherever you might be listening, scroll down, click write a review, and just leave us a little note there. And who knows, maybe you might be the next person that I give a shout out to here on the podcast. All right. Well, hey, listen, without further ado, I'm going to jump into this interview with my friend Nate Hunter. You are gonna love it. And listen, after the podcast is over, be sure to click on the show notes and go see Nate's work. It's really incredible. I think you're gonna enjoy it. All right, here's Nate. Well, hey everybody, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I've got one of my newer friends in the world, Nate Hunter, who's an awesome ceramicist. Nate, I'm so glad you're with me today, man, on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. This is gonna be fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As we're recording this, it's summertime and both of us are like running with like chickens with our head cut off because that's like prime time, right? In the world.
Yeah.
A little bit about who you are, what you do creatively, and where you are in the world.
All right. Yeah. I where do I start? You know, it's like there's so much in my head right now. I'm a father of three of my own bio children, and we are also fostering right now and soon to adopt our fourth.
Awesome.
Child. Me and my wife have a nice little home here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I'm teaching at the Racine Art Museum as well as selling my pots, and I make ceramic work, sculpture and pottery.
Nice.
It's been a fun ride so far. This is my first year kind of jumping into selling my work and really stepping into what God has called me to do. And
yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a challenge, but I feel like the Lord has prepared me for this through many words over my life. One in particular was really funny. I got this word about how I wasn't called to be a BMX rider. I was called to be in the Tour de France, right?
Wow.
And so later that year, I was watching the Tour de France. And this guy reaches, he's on his bike, and he reaches behind his back, and he pulls out this bar and shoves the whole thing in his mouth and chews it up. And the commenter's like, oh, he's going to need that 2,000 calories for this next hill climb coming up.
And you're like, great.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So, oh, that's what you're doing. Okay, so yeah, so this like leading up to this year, I felt like I've just been like cramming those bars in my mouth and getting to start climbing this hill and really expend a lot of energy. And I feel like I've been doing a lot of you know, pedaling. But now I'm about to downshift. First
entree into your creative life, or?
Yeah. This is, well, and I've sold stuff before, but this is like the first time that I've actually like pursued shows and gotten into gallery shows and some other salon shows and stuff like that. Just get my name out there, get my work out there. I started selling at the farmers market here in town, which is the second largest in Wisconsin.
Nice.
And it's been great. I make between $300 and $500 every time I show up.
Like, it's, yes.
It doesn't matter what the weather's like. It doesn't matter how many people are there. It's like been really consistent, and it's like God's been really faithful in it. So I feel like, man, if I could do that every week in the summer, that'd be great.
yeah, definitely. I tell you. So tell me when so you started into pottery and everything. When did you start? Was it before that or after that that you started to realize, maybe God's wanting to do something in the context of my creativity in my life that I don't only like to do art, but maybe God's called me to be an artist. Like, this is my assignment in the kingdom.
I wouldn't say there's ever been like this, like, you must do this.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's been more of God coming alongside me and reminding me who he is and reminding me of what he, you know, it's not overt, I guess. Yeah. I should say it's been a lot of me having to seek out his will, you know, and digging deeper into, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And for a long time, I just felt like I was drifting. I felt like I had not really, I didn't have any direction. And then, I was just teaching, and it was, I was enjoying teaching, but it was just really just a paycheck. But then recently God has really spoken to me a lot through my work. And then with the being on the mentoring program, I've been able to like connect the dots between all these words, like the Tour de France word and some other words about me going into a desert experience. But the desert experience is where you find that you can sustain yourself.
Yeah.
Where you can find life. Mm. There's funny, I was watching this video of the Survivor Man show, and he's like in the desert. He's in the Mojave Desert, and this is like in the middle of me, like, I don't know what I'm doing kind of thing. And he said, really, I'm just subsisting out here. I know what to look for. I know where there's water. I know where there's food. I could live out here. This isn't hard. I know when to shelter myself from the heat. I know when to go, you know, walk around. I know when to harvest. And it's like, I could be here all year, you know. It's like,
yeah. I'm
like, oh, so the desert really isn't a place of lack. It's a place of solitude and a place where God can speak to you without the distractions and be able to, you know, he took Israel into the desert to teach them to trust him.
Right? That's right.
The pillar of fire in front and the rock rolling behind them that gave them water whenever they needed it, and their sandals never wore out. And then Jesus went into the desert and he came out, started his ministry. You know,
that's right.
So David, same thing. He went into the desert, came out, he was game, you know? So I felt like really encouraged by, okay, this is going to be a desert experience. I can do this.
And well, I just heard yesterday, you know, Facebook scrolling through something. I heard Bill Johnson talking about the whole concept of desert experiences and dark nights of the soul and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, so many times we want to push those off, but it's like, those are the times that you're going to see a different attribute of God's presence, a different, God's going to manifest himself differently to you in those seasons than he will in others because of the season that you're in. And how wonderful. You don't want to miss that because the word, you know, you're going to go through those seasons. So the worst thing to do is try to do it yourself, right? We want to press into the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I've learned. I mean, I haven't had a go to work 9-to-5 job in 15 years.
Yeah.
I got,
thank you, Jesus.
I don't want to go back. I got fired from my job at Starbucks right before we had our second child. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And I was really like shaken by it. But then I realized, no, this is what God has got me. He's not going to let me go. And I'm just going to trust him. And I mean, it's been 15 years and I have not wanted, you know, I shouldn't say that. I have not needed. There are a lot of things that I want, but it's not, those aren't things that I have, you know, that I need. I mean, we have two cars that are in relatively great shape. We have money in the bank. We have food on the table and we have love to spare for foster children, you know, and it's like, we're just working out what God puts in front of us. You know, that was the word I got when we moved into this house. He's like, just do what's in front of you. And for about 10 years, it was just doing what's in front of me. Okay. Right. Oh, teaching showed up. Okay. I guess I'll teach for a while, you know? And then he's like, no, I want you to actually start making more pots, get involved in some wood kilns, start talking to other potters in the area and get into the community and start fostering, which I feel like the Lord tricked me to get into, but it's been great. It's been a wonderful walk with the Lord.
Mm.
And actually in the mentoring program, we started connecting all those things together and realizing that, oh no, this is important, right? Yeah. I need to share this. And so my work has really been, and I make pots, which hold sustenance. I mean, so it's like, so I've been making these bowls and I'll send you some pictures for show notes if you want, but they're like these triangle shaped dune bowls, but they've got like this turquoise glaze in the inside.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then, but they're a nesting set of three.
Oh, how awesome.
So it's just, you know, finding the triune God in the desert. And it's funny because this clay right here is our local Kenosha clay.
Cool.
Same clay that they make the Cream City brick out of. So I'm starting to work with local clay, harvesting it, and just the whole process of working with clay has been one of me discovering how God works with me.
Right.
You know? And clay has made me a patient person. I have to be patient with the process.
I say the same thing about basketry. I'm like, this is God's joke on my life because I'm like, big picture, fast moving, visionary kind of thing. And everybody like, let's not make him an artist, a painter. Let's make him a basket maker. And let's put a thing in his heart to go out and chop down trees and do them. Everybody that's in here is like, are you kidding? Like, how much patience do you have? And I'm like, that's the whole joke of it because I don't even have patience. It is this prophetic picture, right? Of what God's doing in us and what he wants to do through us.
And when the work and the work has changed me, you know, and it's a dialogue. It's not, I'm going to force this object into submission.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to change strategy. Like those bowls that I have, I realized I couldn't make those on the wheel. I couldn't make those hand built. So I started carving pink foam and taking casts of those and casting them, casting slip and doing and working with other mediums to get the shapes that I want. And so it's this back and forth with the material that really excites me. You know, it's like that clay that I have. I'm working on a construction site and we were digging out for the foundation. And I saw this beautiful gray vein of clay and I'm like, ooh, I gotta try that.
Stop it.
And I dive down in the hole and I fill these garbage bags full of clay and I take it home and I test it out and it's this most beautiful or yellow desert sand glaze. It's just gorgeous. But that's how God treats us, right? Yeah. Like he jumps down into the pit, grabs us, and then massages us into what he wants us to be. It's That's not so good. About us. You know, it's like I tell my students, Clay's natural state is laying in the bottom of a pond and it doesn't want to move. Right? It's just going to stay
perfectly happy down there, right?
Perfectly happy laying on the bottom of a river somewhere and never going to go anywhere. But God has other plans and Absolutely. He wants us to be useful. He wants us to have a function in his kingdom. He wants us to be full of fruit, you know? So, yeah, it's like, so good. I love working with clay, and I love how God has used the clay to teach me more about how to listen and how to pay attention to what he's doing.
Yeah.
Is moving in his spirit, you know, so.
That's so good.
It's been really great.
Part of what God's been doing in your life, and I know because we met through the mentoring program, is God has been leading you into the marketplace to not only make work, but sell your work. Talk a little bit about that process, because you've had a real transformation since coming into the program and just God really opening up some incredible things for you. So
yeah,
talk a little bit about that awakening, if I can call it that.
It's funny. Last year about this time, I just felt boldness to pursue it. Mm. I felt like we were having a home group meeting at a beer garden in town. And I was like, you know what? I should talk to the manager and just see if he wants to, you know, partner with me to make some mugs. And then that same day I joined the mentoring program. And that same day I decided my friend showed up and said, hey, you want to do the farmer's market next year? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So it's like, it was like all these things kind of happened in the same day. Now the beer garden stiffed me. So I learned a lot about contracts and about making sure that I'm paid first, you know, those kind of things. It's been just me just realizing that I can do it.
Mm.
That he's given me the knowledge. He's given me the expertise and he's working on giving me the wisdom to kind of work these things out. And so it's been a wild ride. I've been, the farmers markets are doing really well. I'm just surprised at how I figured I would make, you know, $100, you know,
right.
I was like, this isn't going to go well, but at least I'm doing something, you know. And it's been overly abundant than that. I make $300 to $500 every farmer's market, no matter what. And it's been like, what?
Predictable income. We love
it. Exactly. And then I do an art fair and I do twice that. And I'm like, whoa, okay. All right. Now I know. And I hit my goals. Like I told the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I'd love to make $1,000 in this show. And he went above and beyond that. And I was like, yes. Okay. All right. So this is kind of my yes and amen. To go ahead.
It sounds to me like you're learning to, in a really tangible way, which I remember going through this same season myself, you're learning that process of dreaming with him, of having expectations and having expectancy in your heart and putting it out there and not being afraid. I think so many people are afraid to do that because they're afraid to be let down, or maybe they've been let down in the past and they're like, well, it's easier not to do that. But I see that faith rising up in you that you're able to do that and God's showing up. I mean, that's got to be exciting for you.
Oh yeah. Well, and faith is one of those things where you make the step and he catches you.
That's right.
It's like, it's again, it's that back and forth, you know, it's the clay and the potter talking to each other. And so he wants me to step out and then he meets me there and he shows me something else. And then I'll go try that and step out on that. And it was interesting because I was starting to think about this and I was praying one morning and I was like, Lord, I don't know if I can afford to do this. Like, this is scary. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to provide for my kids.
Yeah.
And he said, almost audibly, whose kids are they?
Come on, Nate. Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're right. You're going to take care of them. I don't need to worry about them. Like,
that is such a big shift, I think, for everybody. I remember when the Lord did that in me, it's like, provision is not based on your performance. Provision is my promise to you because you're my kid, and you can either receive it or you can go out and try to make everything happen yourself. And it's like, whoa, when you start to get that, that changes everything.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It just, it's been a really great time to get the time with the Lord, make it a priority.
Right. Although
summer has been just ridiculous.
Right.
Not having the kids on a set schedule, you know, like because things go late or, you know.
I hear you.
It's not July and it's like midnight before we get home. And then that just kind of sets us on this path of late nights. And then you don't get up early and then you don't get to everything you want to get done. But I'm looking forward to when school starts, because then all four of our children for the first time are all going to be in school all day.
Oh, man.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to the time to be able to get work done in the studio and really have that concentrated time.
Yeah, yeah.
So doing that. And this winter is going to be one of just cranking stuff out. I've got two wood kilns coming up in the in October, right next to each other, and I got another one in the spring, and that's kind of where a bulk of my work comes from.
Right.
Firing pots in this kiln that's fired just with wood, and the wood ash interacts with the pots.
Yeah.
Kind of showing that process of us going through the fire. But
yeah,
one of the things that it's so great about it is that the clay is designed to take the heat. It doesn't like disintegrate.
Yeah.
It's designed for that. You're like, yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be rough. It's going to be a hard time. And these pots are in the kiln for 7 days.
Yeah.
And there's six cords of wood that goes in there. You know, it's like, it's a roaring inferno.
It's serious, right?
And yeah. But they come out and they're beautiful.
That's right.
You know? And it shows, the wood ash settles in the pots and shows the process. And so that's kind of what this last kiln I did kind of really just sparked a bunch of stuff for me, and how God makes the ugly, what we think is ugly, and the scars that we get, he turns into beauty marks.
Mm,
so like, yeah. I've got this mug here that I did. I'll send you this picture, but you
can
the wad marks right here. This is what separates the pot from the kiln shelves and keeps it from sticking to everything. But there's this, like, the wad actually sticks to the pot a little bit. So wow. I just polish that up and leave it. And it's like got this really great wabi-sabi, happy, what do you call it? Serendipitous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
I don't know if you know, the potter, Akira Satake, very famous Japanese potter. His studio is right next door to mine.
Oh, really?
Right there.
Oh, man.
Asheville's like,
come over.
Oh yeah. But he's big wood fire. I mean, it's, and then Kyle Carpenter is another one. He's here in Asheville.
Yeah, you're surrounded, man.
Yeah, all the cool kids live in Asheville. But
I know.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're on what I would call the bridge, which is moving from doing your art as a hobby into a serious part-time endeavor, and then hopefully moving into, you know, however the Lord opens the door into doing it more and more. I hear you talking about studio practice and being in there on a regular basis, you know, all the time, even amidst kids and working other jobs and that sort of thing. You can't underestimate that, right? Because a lot of people, I think, oh, God's called me to be an artist and he's just going to do it. It's like, yeah, he's going to do it when you show up and do the work. When you show up in the studio.
It's faith, right? You got to make the step.
That's right.
And he'll catch you, right? And he'll speak to you. Like, I find a lot of times when I'm like, Lord, show me something. And I don't hear anything. And then I get in the studio and I put my hands on the clay and he's like, oh, let's do this. I was like, oh, I like that. You know, and it's important to get that time in. I tell my students that all the time. I'm like, this class is all about getting time on the wheel. The more you spend on it, the better you get.
That's right.
It's not about how much talent you have. You can fake talent if you have time.
Right.
You know, and there are some people who pick it up really quickly and then struggle later on, you know, but it's all about spending that time and grinding it out, grinding through it and asking questions and being curious and going, what if I do this? Or how about I try this instead? Or oh, I don't like that. Pound it down. Start, make something else out of it.
You know? Being too precious with the process.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The first 2 weeks of my beginner potter's wheels class, I make everybody throw everything out. They're not allowed to keep anything.
Wow. And
we cut them up. We diagnose them. You know, it's that whole process, because clay is the only thing that you hand over all your work to the kiln.
Mm.
You don't have any real control.
That's right.
About what happens in there. So the only time you have to do what you want is that first making stage. And so you really have to get that technique down and really practice. And the only way you do that is being in the studio.
Well. Yep. Now, you mentioned coming into the mentoring program last year. You've really just, I see the stories all the time. You're and the comments you're doing in our Facebook group, the great questions you're asking.
Way too much.
No, that's fine. That's what it's for. Talk about just your transformation from when you think about last summer to this summer. Hmm. What are a couple of the things that you're saying, wow, this is major growth in my life?
I mean, across the board. It's been an interesting jaunt through it. I mean, I have to admit, I am not going through as fast as I would like to have gone through it. I'd like to be into the website stuff already, even though I know quite a lot of it.
Right.
It's kind of like my website's terrible right now. It's like the cobbler,
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm a web designer. You know, I have a client with 6 sites, you know, and like I do this stuff all the time, and yet my site looks like it's terrible.
Terrible.
And so that's my winter project. But I've been going through the program slowly, but I've really been taking the time to fill out those worksheets and really spend time with the Lord and understand where these things are connecting and how to work on these things, because I like the way you've got it structured out, because you first start with people getting their heart right.
Yeah.
You know, finding out where the hurt is, treating that hurt, dealing with the issues that they've got, the baggage and stuff from life, you know, and then moving on, you know. So, now that we have all that done, we can talk about your art, right?
Well, exactly, because otherwise, I mean, you're just, you know, trying to fix everything with technique and marketing ideas, and it doesn't work, right?
No, absolutely not, because you're not in the right place.
Right.
You're mentally and spiritually not in the right place to be able to handle that next step. And I think that's really important. And I'm only into the second section. But I've been really spending time working through all of that stuff, and it's important to take your time, you know. Yeah,
absolutely. Talk about just your experience in the context of community, having other artists that are on the same journey and that sort of thing, because I know for so many of us that, you know, I did my baskets for years and years and years without doing it in the context of community. Nobody knew I was an artist, and so I remember when I was like, oh, wow, there are other artists out there that love Jesus and are great at what they do and are growing. It was like such a relief almost to be able to share that journey. How's that been for you?
Oh, yeah, it's been very similar. It's being a part of a wood kiln helps, because you can't do that in a vacuum.
Right.
You can't do that by yourself. You can't stay up for 7 days straight stoking every 10 to 15 minutes by yourself. Literally die. So you know, there's probably 10-15 of us that fire each kiln, and
that's so good.
we talk shop and we joke and we have fun, and we're you know, so that's been really great to get into those more regularly, and getting into the local, you know, the southeastern Wisconsin potters groups.
There
we had a couple on Facebook that we're connecting with, and there are a few of us in town, and so we get together every so often. And so, but then I just felt like right before I started the program, I was like, man, I'd love to just sit down and talk with somebody who would understand when I'm talking about how God is shaping my art.
Right.
And really, you know, because I talk about that kind of stuff with other non-Christians, and they're like, I don't I was really feeling the urge to get into a community of artists that could, we could talk shop and we could talk about the things that are really difficult, you know, and the things that, that you can't really talk to somebody who doesn't have any context, you know, like, I'm really feeling the Holy Spirit telling me to do this, you know, like somebody who's a non-Christian would be like, okay, whatever, this is the Holy Spirit you're talking about, you know? Right. So, I, you know, I didn't know weed was legal up there. You know, so,
in Georgia,
Georgia. So it's been really great to be a part of a group and to be able to share thoughts, you know. Yeah. It doesn't have to be definitive, and I like that it doesn't degrade into chaos.
yeah, absolutely.
Facebook groups that just kind of, oh, I can't believe you said that, you know.
Right. I think just the ability to share where you are honestly and feel like, you know, understand that you're not going to be judged, but everybody's either been there or going to be there and can offer solutions, and if it works for you, great. But it's
Absolutely. Yeah, we were just talking this morning about whether painting Jesus is a thing that you actually can do,
right?
Like, do you feel like you have the skill to be able to depict Jesus in an accurate way that isn't blasphemous and it isn't embarrassing, you know? It's like, how do you do that, you know?
Right.
I love that. I love being able to talk about that kind of stuff, because,
and I'm glad I don't have to answer it because I'm not a painter. So I'm,
I just gave my two cents because, you know, it's on Facebook. So, you know,
exactly.
I'll answer.
Why not? Well, Nate, I'm so glad for the transformation that's happening in your life, for the movement of the Holy Spirit that's just flowing through everything you're doing, man. I know folks are going to want to see your work and connect with your story online and that sort of thing. So where is the best place?
Oh,
we know your website's under construction right now. So where's the best place for folks to connect with you and see what you're doing creatively?
Yeah, right now, Facebook and Instagram, Nate Hunter Ceramics, either one. NateHunterCeramics.com is my website, and it really is just a form in my logo right now. So don't, you know, don't think it's going to be too great, but I'm working on it.
Tell everybody, Matt Tommy had nothing to do with Nate building his
website. Yeah, I did. I haven't got to that before. <program. laughs>
I'm not doing that mentoring program. I saw his website. It's
terrible. Yeah, but I'm on Facebook a lot, and I'm starting to get more into Instagram. That seems to be where a lot of the potters are showing their work and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Nate, thanks so much, man, for sharing your story and for being on today. I know folks are going to want to connect with you on social media and just continue to see your incredible journey.
Yeah, yeah. Follow along. More the merrier.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.